What's going on? It's your boy Spencer here. The guys couldn't get together this week, so we put together a little evergreen content for you, some topics we discussed at a previous date. Some good stuff in there. We hope you like it. Make sure to tell your friends about the podcast. Follow us at 92 Bricks Pod. We got Carrie, thanks Carrie, myself, Spencer, SGs on Twitter, SJEEZS, and your boy, the Kizza, _, the Kizza, KZA. So yeah, this is 92 Bricks, the Mo Bricks edition. Enjoy.
So you learned Dave Mirra.
I learned about Gangstar by Dave Mirra. Moment of Truth by Gangstar was on one of the Dave Mirras. And I was like, yo, who's this dude rapping that's pretty bad but has a great voice? Because Guru's delivery is a little weird at times.
Yeah.
Like on Moment of Truth, he says like, something pie, whatever, and I'm gonna get more guys. Like it sounds like some real derivative rap.
Yeah,
it's like, this beat is crazy.
You know what's crazy?
And I looked up Gangsta.
So around that same time that game came out, Thrasher Skate and Destroy, you know, Thrasher brand that has skateboard.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They had a war tour from Q-Tip on Charcoal Quest. Mm-hmm. And that's the first time I ever heard that song. I never heard it before that.
Wait, that was on Thrasher? Because it's funny. If you weren't here to say that, I would have said that was on Dave Mirra.
They had that shit. They had that on Thrasher. And they had,
those games had great soundtracks.
White Lines by Sugar Hill.
You want to know when I first heard a war tour?
Where?
In 2009, when Wale redid it for Attention Deficit with Jasmine Sullivan. He called it World Tour.
Do that. I do actually remember that now.
And I had to know the sample. And I heard a war tour. I was like, what the fuck? Why would I ever listen?
How often does that happen to y'all where like y'all find like a... like.
Fairly.
All right, so this is running joke with me and my homie at work, Rodney or whatever, right? And like we always talk about how the first time we heard a lot of rap songs, like beats, were on a Currency song. Like a Currency rap
because he's
beat,
just rapped on
Currency,
it.
Currency, he rapped on the beat, about, and then you hear it later, like, oh, that's somebody else's beat. I thought it was a Currency original.
I was 18 when I learned about Bout About It. That was Currency.
Like what? Master P about it?
100%.
Oh, I think Cameron beat. It was the Cameron beat, though.
First time I ever heard.
Are you kidding me right now?
It was the beat, that version of the beat was the Bout About It Part 3.
Right, but you understand Cameron about it.
It was Part 3. Yes, I know that.
I was like, oh my God.
When I heard Currency rap over it, I thought it was remixing Dipset. I had no idea.
You know about the previous ones?
Until I went and looked up all the samples from that mixtape, and then I realized it.
That's Smokey Robinson. That's my first mistake from too.
Because the line where he said, "I paid the toll with 100, I got the next 99 motherfuckers is coming." Crazy. That shit had such an impact on me. Yeah. I was like, "Yo, I have to know everything about this song."
And that's the first time I ever met, I met Currency that year. But that's the first time I ever listened to Currency with Smokey Robinson.
Random aside. Listen, the year currently is 2019.
Mm-hmm.
In 2021, Kanye is Feast or Famine. Feast or Famine.
Feast or Famine was that?
In 2021, our opinion on Kanye is famine. Poop or fire?
Famine.
He's ass, bro. He's famine. Ass now.
Well, thank you, Clark.
He continues to be ass in 21. Yeah,
he's been ass.
How does he recover from this?
I don't know how the greatest artist of our fucking generation recovers, man. I'm asking if it happens.
Greatest artist of our generation.
I don't think
Frank
it happens.
Ocean. That's where I'm going with that.
Well, it's a different generation.
I'm taking that
Frank Ocean.
That's
actually make music to be the greatest artist.
Frank now.
It's a different generation.
I don't care. He has two albums, and they're more relevant than anything.
He's got some.
They ain't relevant at all.
He's got some Lucy's.
Yo, who listens to Blind, what the fuck, son?
You want
to
know who listens to Blind?
You.
People good music taste?
Yeah,
people, fuck yo, out Blind, yo, anybody. Yo, bro, this is not up for debate. Like,
it is up for debate.
Sure it is. Go for it.
Let's hear it. We can talk
about it. Niggas don't fuck with Blind, bro.
Yeah,
we can debate it, but is it up for debate? No.
It is.
What it's kind not, of word bullshit was that? It's some
shit. You could argue.
Yeah, don't say that name.
You could argue.
Redacted.
We could argue whatever, but everything's not an argument, bro. Bro. Like, that's not an argument.
I mean, would you expect anything less from M. Night?
I know they're wearing a shawl right now, so I can argue with you right now.
Yeah.
This nigga got a shawl and a fucking OKC t-shirt under it.
I wouldn't wake up
Eric. Oh, shit. What are you Russell taking us? Westbrook. How did you not hit us with that?
How you missed that?
I blew that.
That was a brick.
That's terrible.
Don't blow that. Don't blow that.
Nice. Bro, blonde is not a debate. We can do a whole other pod on this, but I'm just saying, blonde is not a debate.
It's classic album. Y'all disgusting.
Clark, you travel a lot. Casey, a.k.a. Clarkman San Diego. When is your next trip that involves a road trip?
Driving. No, we're not taking a plane to Berlin.
Damn.
That'd be fire.
Plane. When's the next time you're going to spend at least 2 hours in a car?
In a car?
Scenic route, preferably. I need some trees or a desert. Mouse.
I might be driving from San Diego to Mexico City.
Oh, my. Perfect. If you drive from San Diego to Mexico City.
How often am I gonna do that? If that's the only time the album's good, then fuck it.
I'm just, that's not what I said.
No. Yeah, I know where you're headed, bro. I hear you.
All I was gonna say is do me a favor.
Listen to Frigo.
Turn on Blonde. So, listen to it on that road trip.
So it's good on
and
one
then
road
come
trip.
Come back and talk to me.
So here's road trip music. This Clueless, nigga?
No.
No, fuck that.
Just admit.
The movie Clueless.
There's a road trip in Clueless?
Just.
I don't know.
Don't talk to me. I know Clueless.
Just admit that you and your bros wanted some drums. It wasn't no drums, and y'all niggas got bored.
Son, this nigga had not green the same hair in the shower.
That's not the same as an album not being hot, bro. There's no
the
album.
The cover is your problem?
I'm just from
an MF Doom fan, the cover is your problem?
No MF Doom has the best covers ever.
But Born Like This, good cover.
I
wish you guys could see the look on his face. Food. Looks like my fucking toddler cousin.
Yeah, the fuck. Shout out to Jagel, bro, who made that cover.
You go
Danger
to art
Doom cover.
You go to art galleries, you know that shit is trash. No, stop.
You're a blasphemous ass nigga out here, son.
There's no album that has Nights, Pink and White, Nights, Futura Free. You see the
reason I'm rolling the odds out here.
Yeah,
if you ever do
that
again.
Futura Free.
I'm about to punch my card in.
Boy, ain't none of those. Can't no album have those songs on it. Be trash.
So. Another guy we want to talk about was J. Cole.
Where are we going with this?
that's what I would want to ask J. Cole if I was sitting in front of him.
Where are you taking me right now?
You going to the store to buy some clothes? You don't look homeless? Where are you going?
I don't know, man. That nigga need like...
Like about the bar, somebody charge or
something. Hey, my boss might charge or something.
I should have be done. Shout out to Fox. I think it's funny.
I would say the most baffling thing out of J. Cole last year, and J. Cole had a fucking phenomenal year in terms of features, is that... This nigga dropped the Uchi Wally freestyle as if he's about to drop a mixtape full of him rapping over other niggas' mixtapes. And I was ready for it.
And he just backed out.
And it's like, in the middle of Boss's rollout.
He called it Album of the Year freestyle?
Some shit like that. It was 100% in front of him. No, yes, it was. It was before he pretty much niggas knew we knew Boss was coming out and he put out Uchi Wally freestyle. I was like, what the fuck is that? Why are you doing that?
I love Boss. Literally one of my favorite artists. One of my favorite albums of last year. But you're saying that like the guy who's making filet mignon meals is fucking up like the hot dog man's grind.
Such
like
a filet mignon, man. Not... Let's make a filet mignon references. Last week he had one with the baseball hat and the filet mignon. He was like a fancy ass motherfucker.
No, I never have filet mignon. It's just like a generic like. The point I'm trying to make, bro, is they're not in the same world. So what J. Cole does doesn't hurt.
I'm talking about intention. J. Cole.
Well, he also hopped on a song of his. What do you want him to do?
I want him to not put out an Uchi Wally freestyle as if he's about to.
How does that steal his shine? They're not on the same level. Because
he has no reason
to
do it. He still has no reason to. I don't know why he did it to this day.
I don't either, but I don't see that as a direct aside against Boz.
If we're trying to build buzz around an artist that's relatively unknown, why would you put out a freestyle of a beat that is. Like
the two don't have anything to do with each other. Is my point.
During the rollout,
I'm with you. He could have done more.
He was quiet the whole time. So why would he even do that?
That's what I'm saying. They don't contradict each other.
So here's the deal: the dates actually lend to your argument.
I know,
but
I'm not disputing the logic.
When I look at it,
timing.
So Uchi Wally came out on August 7th. He went on tour August 9th. So he was just trying to like remind people that he's going on tour. It really was like a, there actually was like some type of intent behind it. And that's just like a,
I'm just saying, I'd be happy to talk about that, the weirdness of that freestyle. I'm with you. It was weird. It seemed like he was about to release a string of freestyles. But I don't see how it has to do with Boz. Like,
I just find it weird to do that during your artist's
role. Yeah, that's fine. I'm with you. It might be a little weird.
I'm with him on that, but it, you know, it wasn't.
I just don't see it as this direct thing. But it's
especially when Boz is the most known artist on your like there's no
J.I.D.'s.
Oh, J.I.D. now. You're right. I'm wrong.
But no, listen.
But at the time, it might have been Boz. Remember, J.I.D. took a huge leap just now.
Yeah, that's a good point. You bring up a good point though, because guess what's happening right now that's reminiscent of this. We just had the Dreamville sessions, where everyone's in Atlanta. We talked a little bit about it last week, you know. And I think with that, it's emphasizing because it's like, oh, Boz is there, J.I.D.'s there. In that case, they're in the same world. And what happens today? Seems like J. Cole announced an album and announced a new single coming out in 2 days, on January 23rd. That's what I was saying beforehand. Yeah, the middle child thing. So again, he's doing this.
He's dropping a new album.
I think so. He dropped a
middle child.
So he deleted his Instagram this last week, and one of the weeks during the Dreamville thing. And then today, his Instagram's back. There was an image with like a certain kind of artistic thing going on that said, I'm not using any bullets. What was it? No bullets?
Yeah.
what was it, Karen?
It was like no.
Something about bullets. We'll tell you the name in a second. Mm-hmm. And then later in the day, he released what looked like a cover art called Middle Child. And it says, new single, January 23rd.
Oh, shit. Damn.
So again, he's doing this shit, and I was saying it. I was like, "Yo, doesn't Cole understand it? It's supposed to work the other way. Like, you don't, when you're the bigger deal than your crew, you don't need to build hype with your crew for you.
That's you what build Joey Badass
hype
did.
For your crew.
Yeah, it's backwards. It's like we want to find your crew interesting, and it's like he has a lot of pieces. He has more pieces than he realizes. I think now, like they're very definitive. Like Earth Gang can have a song by themselves and hold down. They're part of the mixtape, and it could be a moment. He has people like J.I.D. who he don't need nobody on the track with him. He has Ari Lennox, who doesn't need anybody on the track with her. Boss doesn't need anybody on the track with him. So it's like he has a lot of pieces where it's like you can actually make your crew solidified here. Why would you overstay your welcome by?
Honestly, this screams his record label just not fully understanding how to
or trusting him maybe
on this type of momentum. Because even when I'm looking at the announcement right now. Even for him to like do the Cole X T minus thing, like,
oh yeah, he added T minus, who's the producer. Like,
first of all,
and who's T minus?
T minus producer. He's worked a lot with Drake, more of like a poppy sound. One of the big things I always think of was Moment for Life.
Yeah.
He had. So it's interesting. I mean, Cole is telling you, hey, some of your criticisms, I'm gonna go against him. You think of me as an artist who produces only all of his own music, which is a bit of a misnomer because. Ever since Forest Hills Drive, he's collaborated with a lot of people. It's still mostly driven by him.
Right.
But he's announcing, oh, look, I'm with T-Minus. I'm with Drake's producer. I'm with a guy who makes radio hits. Mm-hmm. Hey, look, I'm released. When's the last time Cole announced a single?
Because
with KOD, he just came out with a song, right?
I think it was Mrs. America was the last time.
But that wasn't even that ended up not being a single.
Did he not announce a single for KOD?
Because the song came out beforehand, right? Counted Up? Or was it All at Once?
No, it was All at Once.
ATM, I mean.
And the same thing for their two previous albums. I think the last time I remember Cole announcing a single was for the lead into Born Sinner, which began with Miss America. And
well, he eventually had Power Trip. Which
Power Trip is was the last.
So yeah, Power Trip's the last Cole single?
I think so.
Really?
No, not Power Trip, Crooked Smile. Because Crooked Smile came after Power Trip. That might be the last.
He didn't have anything on. No, right. He had
but the album was out already.
He didn't have anything on Force of Drive.
I think the album came out with the video.
No, Force of Drive. Remember, that was the original surprise ish drop.
Oh, you're saying single preceding the album. Album. Yeah, I thought you meant general. I'm like, he definitely had single.
Crooked Smile was before the album. The video came out after, but I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the single. I think that was the last
been a surprise.
Single he announced. Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
So what kind of music do we think that. If a Cole album is coming, what kind of music do we expect from him this time?
It's hard to know what to expect from Cole because he's so unpredictably predictable. It's weird.
What do you mean?
It's hard. I just, you know, even KOD, like KOD was obviously a different approach both sonically and lyrically, but and even lyrically just in terms of, I guess, flow, because a lot of the content was very similar. But, you know, even in that, it was like he still seemed afraid to truly deviate from what's been working for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, even when he tries something new, even on a song. My favorite song on the album is Windowpane.
Same.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a very strong record. I think it's better.
I don't know. I think it's the best song. I'd be hard pressed to admit I like listen or to make the like that I actually listen to it the most and yeah. like.
Well, I think
it's actually the only song I still listen to off that.
Well, project. One thing Cole's done these past two albums though is like make the last song on his album like the stamp, like yo, this is how I actually feel in this moment
right.
in my life right now.
Right. Yeah.
So it was like 1985 was it mm-hmm. last time, and then 85. One before was
Preview to the Fall Off.
Yeah,
but even 85 was
last one good. Was the title track for All Eyes Only.
Well, yeah, for even, Eyes Only,
that was song amazing.
Incredible.
Jesus Christ.
Even 85 was a little predictable to me because I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, this is obviously a nice little fancy concept, but this mm-hmm. is also just you being, you know, the old rapper that's tired of being the old rapper, and it's like, okay, all right, that's cool.
I don't know, man. He depicted that shit very well.
No, he did a good job, but that's Cole. You know, Cole's been doing a good right. job at that for years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. he's been giving us that type of, you know. That type of layered,
and then he went from that to like rapping with the niggas that he kind of was fake dissing in that track.
Well, I think I don't even know if he was dissing them.
Oh, that type of like,
yeah,
conceptually.
No, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. And I think his whole thing, he's to me, J. Cole is stuck in the position where he wants to align and he wants to be relatable, but he also wants to be an arbiter. And it's mm-hmm. kind of hard to be both in the current right. landscape, especially given the type of artist that he's dealing with. Because he's dealing with artists like J.I.D. who aspire to have that type of like cult fan base that like maybe an XXX might have. You know, not to necessarily mm-hmm. correlate him to that type of guy, but you know, you understand. Like yeah, the yeah. type of artist that Gen Z stands over, he has to kind of align with them to an extent, but he also has to remind people like, yo, remember where I came from.
Well, it's so weird though how, because you're talking about a guy who basically, and we're simplifying some points, but basically put out an album wagging his finger and berating, mm-hmm. but saying like, no, I understand you, right. to this young generation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then and this SoundCloud drug gangster, you know, reckless generation. And then he spent the rest of the year working with them, yeah. doing interviews with them yeah. after, like, with, you know, Little Pump I'm referring to. And it's just weird. If he didn't seem like such a genuine dude, and from all accounts, like a good guy, genuine guy, someone who's a man of purpose, man, his shit would look so weird. Who he'd be?
Don't say it.
He'd be Drake.
Oh my God.
Because listen, man, in a way, J. Cole took the iPhone charger dude
yeah.
version of Drake. He stood next
iPhone
to all these
charger
guys.
Version of Drake.
He stood That's next great. To all of these guys, and I'm gonna make a quick tidbit I want to mention from some inside sources we heard, which is such a fucking J. Cole move.
Uh-oh.
This whole Dreamville session, right, with all these collabs, blah blah blah. I heard all the songs that he's on are just him, mm. which yeah. is like.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I don't know if I fully am processing.
So you know, this whole collaborative yeah, yeah. sessions.
Right.
Apparently, you know, there's all accounts, I read some things like 30, 40, 50 songs,
fucking
right?
Knife Wonder and shit.
All these collabs, mm-hmm. collabs. Supposedly the only tracks that people heard of Cole were just Cole.
Mm-hmm. By himself.
By himself.
Have you seen the preview that Ibrahim put out, his manager?
No. No, what did he do?
There's not much to it, but it sounds very much like it's only Cole.
I'm going
to
be so...
It's a song?
It's a song.
Here's the issue, because this is what I'm scared of. Because you remember when J. Cole put out that documentary, I think it's for For Your Eyes Only, and yeah. he had all his live instrumentation, mm-hmm. all his background stuff, and everybody was like, yo, he's about to put out the album of his fucking career. Because mm-hmm. He had just put out 2014, the year before, and we're like, yo, that's really hot for you. That's a really good album. And we thought he was about to drop some shit based on his documentary. And then the album didn't even sound like anything we heard in the documentary. We were like, yo, where's the instrumentation? Where's the violinist that you had there? And it's like, I'm very afraid that we've seen all these names and all these people being a part of this project. And like, we get subpar Cole. And I don't know how many more subpar Cole albums we can get before we have to have a real discussion about like his Mount Rushmore position in hip hop right now.
Can I be honest? Like,
so please be honest.
All of J. Cole's albums have been some part of me.
That's not true.
Except 2014 and Forest Hills Drive for very specific reasons, but there were so many holes.
I'm a born sinner before
there
that.
Are so many holes in that
subpar
album.
Because the standard you hold them to is high? Or subpar because they're just not very good?
Fair. Good question.
Cause
that is a good question. I think it has more to do with the standard than the material not being as good. Mm-hmm. But I actually think towards the later albums, like For Your Eyes, KOD, mm-hmm. those albums actually didn't stand up material-wise to me. 2014 probably stood up the most material-wise mm-hmm. to me, and then, like, the emotional connection I was able to make with it probably carried it over mm-hmm. to where it, like, maybe his best album to me. Perhaps his best rapping is on Born Sinner, but definitely. I can't think of an album where he really put it all together and had me thinking, you know what, when I have to explain J. Cole to somebody that's never heard him, this is the album I give him. I can't give him anything except Friday Night Lights.
Really?
I can't give him anything except Friday Night Lights.
Yeah. I mean, Friday Night Lights should have been his first album. He shouldn't have put out the first album.
It was, but he shouldn't have put out
Sideline Story. That should, Friday Night Lights should have been his first album.
I know you ride hard. Actually, but before I ask you this, I'm just going to make mm-hmm. a quick one sentence that goes with what Kerry's saying. For me, it's as simple as, like, he's underachieving.
Yeah,
he's just underachieved throughout his career. And, like, you can underachieve and be an all-star.
He's like Melo. He's Melo. He's literally Melo, bro. Because he's a Hall of Famer, but he doesn't fucking... It's like, you know why he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, but it's like, you're not showing it anymore.
There isn't any singular moment you can, like, say, hey, this is why.
Right, and and you just actually led yourself into the point I was going to phrase for you, because you've been pretty clear that you think Born Sinner is his best project. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I don't think that's a crazy opinion or anything like that. But, like, to me, Born Sinner, and I bet you if you thought about it, you'd agree. Like, Born Sinner is like Volume 2. And no one's going to sit and say Volume 2 is Jay-Z's...
best album, no.
Or even in a vacuum, like, forgetting the rest, it's like that Jay-Z would stand on Volume 2 as his, like, you know, capstone or whatever the fuck is. You know, would you agree with that? Like...
kind of, but
Born Sinner's not.
I guess my thing would be then.
Well, it's not it, Chief.
But then it's like, what is? So y'all think Cole's album, best album, is 2014?
I don't know. I don't think he has that capstone. Like,
he doesn't have a best album. In your opinion?
Well, you know what's funny is for a while, because I ride harder for Your Eyes Only than the average bear. You know, so I think For Your Eyes Only is his best executed work, like, for what he went for. He did it the best on For Eyes Only. And, like, as time has gone on, I don't necessarily think I'm lying about that, but I just feel less, like, passionate about that point.
Interesting.
I'm probably more inclined to just be like, yeah, Forest Hills Drive is his best project. And it's, yeah.
I
like Born Sinner, too. Yeah. I see where you...
After Central Pay, I don't listen to 2014 anymore.
Well, I hate that Central Pay song.
Well, I like it because it's that Mobb Deep flip.
I'm with you. After
Give
it
up,
that,
give up the goods by Mobb Deep. That's why I like that song.
But, like, to me, with you know, I used to really, really love... I mean, I still love Volume 2, but then, like, when things came around that were better projects, it was clear to me. But Cole still hasn't done that.
Yeah, I don't think he... that's why I get Born Sinner, I won't say it's a reasonable doubt because that's fucking crazy, but it's like...
It's Volume 2, man. He just doesn't...
I think Volume 2 is...
He doesn't have a blueprint.
Yeah. He doesn't have a blueprint. He doesn't have a reasonable doubt.
Maybe Friday Night Lights. Maybe the warm-up.
I think Friday Night Lights might be his reasonable doubt.
I think if you combine Friday Night Lights and the warm-up, that's an easy, like... I know they're very different projects, but, like, if you just say, like, okay, his early mixtape, and throw in Grown Simba, the song.
Man, Friday Night Lights is so ridiculous, man.
I've almost cried to that song. The song about the girl at the end.
I'm saying SeaWorld. Like
SeaWorld, you know, good.
There are songs on there that just eclipse so greatly the things that J. Cole has done
since.
And
the production.
It's so hard for me. Like Best Friend.
Yeah.
Like even, like, I understand that obviously Missy gave him the battery and he's borrowing her melody.
That's the exact song.
That's an incredible song, man. Like for him to even be capable of that song at the level he was at the time.
Yeah.
SeaWorld, Enchanted.
You know, like Home for the Holidays is great.
You know, I liked it when I was in college. I literally was coming home for the holidays. I'm like, this song is just fun. Like, I feel it. Like, man, I literally felt the same.
Yo, you want to know a funny
man? Two-Face.
Two-Face, great.
Too Deep for the Intro.
Too Deep for the Intro.
I mean, these songs are like...
Shout out to episode one.
Each one of those records are songs that would be on anybody's list for the top 3 or 4 J. Cole songs ever made. Yeah. So for them to all be on the same project, it's so hard.
I feel like we should have this as a topic for another day, but you know what's funny is... and I'll tell you what the topic is, but like when I used to listen to Home for the Holidays, Home for the Holidays song by J. Cole off Friday Night Lights, where he basically raps about coming back to town when when you've moved away right? You're home for the holidays. And it's funny because at the time I was the dude that he offhandedly mentions living in the town I grew up in. You know, had you graduated, and obviously, like, you guys are from New York, like, you live in New York, you go to college in New York, it's not a big deal to be living in New York, in the greatest city in the world. But like, I lived in the fucking suburbs of Florida, you know, having moved away a little bit for college in Boston, graduating from school in Florida, now moving back home and living with my mom. And it was just like, man, I was on the other end of that song, like the people he's like, you know, oh, must suck to be them. Mm-hmm. That's a weird feeling, you know what I mean? Being on the other end, it's like probably being a promiscuous woman in any song in hip hop.
Yeah, true. But it's weird because I felt the same way. But it was weird because I went only 3 hours away from Brooklyn to go to Albany. And it was like, I
forgot home, you were upstate.
And it was like, literally, you come home and you're like, damn, so y'all niggas still on that shit?
Right, right. You still shit, get that, even bro, in New York
like,
City.
Yeah, it's like, damn, bro, y'all niggas still on that? Nah, I guess, you know? So that song, I think that song, like, if you were in college when that song came out, Home for the Holidays, it's like, yo, you're like, damn, I know. It's like, you know, you see where he came from with that. And he had a really good, he had a long stretch of having that type of music. Cold World. What was the first album? Mixtape?
Well, there's the Come Up, but no one knows it. So, the Warm Up.
But the Come Up had like the song about you being in school. Then there was one about high school and Warm Up. And as he continued to have songs that kind of, with his age, was kind of growing with you. And it was like, all right, yeah, I feel that.
I'll never forget being on the train. I remember being a senior in high school when the video for Grown Simba came out. Mm-hmm. Me and my homie Morgan, shout out to homie. We would sit on the train back and forth to Harlem, bro, from Clinton Hill, just watching that video over and over and over and over. There was just something. I mean, he wasn't doing anything spectacular. I mean, I guess at the time, because, you know, it was the first edition of the youth movement that had the type of lyricism that we cared about from the Jay-Z's and the Kanye's.
Right.
Young Simba.
Yeah. Oh, Young Simba. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Quality Control, right?
Wait, no. Hold on. Is it Young? There are two.
There's Grown Simba, and there's Young.
There's no video for Grown Simba.
Okay, understood. So it's Young Simba. So, yeah, and just feeling that energy from somebody our age. Because think about it. At this time, like, anybody I had to go to for lyricism was in their 30s.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So for somebody our age, like, to be talking about the same shit we talking about, from FAFSAs to, you know, multiplying girls' body counts, like, you know, stupid shit like that. Right. But for him to have that, and then also, like, the lyrical ability, it was a whole different, you know what I mean? So I actually feel guilty for, like, the way I think about him now, because he really, like, revolutionized the way I think about hip-hop, honestly.
Damn. Damn. Revolutionized, huh? Damn.
Honestly, yeah. Because, like, yo, I remember even another, it's funny how much I learned about hip-hop from the fucking train, because ain't shit to do down there but wait.
So anyway, the train?
Yeah. But it's just like, yo, I even remember doing a summer program at Polytechnic. Anybody from Brooklyn?
Yeah, I had summer programs at Polytechnic, bro.
Any nigga from Brooklyn did a summer program at Polytechnic. That's crazy, bro. Just some background information. Polytech is part of a larger community called Metro Tech downtown Brooklyn. There's a collection of universities and schools down there.
Yeah, I just teach you Miss Kelly from Polytech, son. If I ever see her.
You know Miss Kelly? We're going to talk offline.
You know Miss Kelly?
Boy. I know Miss Kelly. Anyway, you know, any young creative, you know, especially, you know, inner city, because, you know, a lot of these programs appeal to, like, being inclusive and getting young black boys and girls, you know, into these tech programs.
Right.
So, you know, you would find yourself with a bunch of like minds just hanging out in Polytech downtown Brooklyn, which was a university at the time. And so down there, I'm having all these different conversations with different people. And I had a conversation with some dude in the train. And I was telling him how dope Drake was. Like, I'm trying to explain Drake to this dude, and I'm like 16 years old. So he retaliates, like, all right, you just explained Drake? Let me explain J. Cole to you.
Mm.
And then that was like, bro, it was like, I was like, wait a minute, you trying to tell me I could listen to somebody the same age as Drake that raps twice as good and is in college? Oh, bad.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like,
I was instant, not sold on, like, Drake at first either.
Bro, it was instant. And then from there, he got all the looks, the Jay-Z look. It was really fascinating, man. We got to do a whole blog era episode. I can't even get into details right now. Yeah. We got to keep it moving. But yeah, man, I mean, anytime we talk about J. Cole, I'm going to just, as much as I criticize him, I'm just always feel that twang, man. Just that little. I remember the first time I heard 93 to Infinity or Get Up. You know what I'm saying? Remember Get Up.
Get Up. And that song when he raps over the drive slow beat, when he's like, man, fucking crazy, man, trying to bag this girl on some you shit. on the show you shit.
Bro, like, even the first time I heard Lights Please, it was like,
Please. And he put that on Final Lights later on.
Because not only
Final Lights, he put it on Sideline Story.
It wasn't even a bonus. It was like an actual song. Because it was that impactful. Like, that was
a song that got signed.
Ghostface. Like, Scarface level storytelling mm-hmm. from a dude that was, you know, sophomore in college.
Well, yeah, that's some, it's funny. That's some very traditional. Yeah. I was gonna say the new musician shit where like you get signed off of the songs on your demo and then you put out one of the top songs from your demo on your album. In his case, he kept it. Thankfully,
he did that a couple times. Let's be honest. There was a couple of songs on that debut album we heard for years.
What was the other one?
In the morning was on like three different J. Cole projects. It just so happened that Drake hopped on it, so, you know, it became a thing. That was the worst J. Cole song for Drake.
I was so mad. Nah, it's not even worth explaining. What were you saying? It's the worst.
That was just the worst J. Cole song for Drake to hop on. I was so mad at that.
Drake killed.
I was like, this is the corniest thing in the world.
I don't like hearing Drake talk about. I mean, I don't like hearing Drake Cole. His verse is hot. And I don't like hearing Drake Cole talk about, like, having sex with bitches.
I mean,
because he had that song with Miguel. Wait till we talk. Jeremiah, we talk. Put the foot in your mouth.
I was like, that's the worst. If I worked at Def Jam,
and Wet Dreams is like, nigga, stop rapping about like
Wet Dreams is such a polarizing song.
That song was gross.
Some people love it.
The fucking dog music video.
That was so weird.
Like,
what are you doing?
It's like, is this how you make your bad bitches commentary? Actually, female dogs. It's like, really
terrible song.
Oh, it was killing me.
That shit was bad.
So we'll probably talk about this more in the future. And also, I just want to clarify something. So I thought that he posted a picture that people think is his album. It actually turns out that what he did today was he posted 4 separate Instagrams and deleted all of them.
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm. And basically, they went in order. I'm making a list. I'm checking it twice. No, I'm just kidding. I'm making a list. I'm writing down names. I'm loading my clips. I'm counting my bullets. And then he deleted. And those got a little hype. I personally only saw them counting my bullets. So this whole list thing was kind of weird. And then he released this idea of a middle child, which, by the way, our conspiracy theorist, I mean, we're all conspiracy theorists here, but our man Carrie here had an idea that maybe middle child was a reference to, you know, the current top level of rap, Holy Trinity, of himself, Kendrick and Cole and Drake. And I said, yeah, except he's obviously the youngest child.
It might not be age though. Maybe it's like,
no, I didn't mean age.
You mean in terms of stature. Okay, fair.
I can't even imagine a metric where Drake Cole's not at the bottom.
Yeah, he's not. He's definitely not the middle.
Maybe a year and a half ago you would have gotten him touring, but definitely not now.
And he's so self-aware that you know he wouldn't make that mistake. Like, you know,
he's so self-aware.
I don't think he'd call himself the middle knowing he's not. Like, right. I think as people, people around him that would be like,
and he's definitely not definitely not stepping out to be like, yo, I'm number 2.
Right.
You thought I was number three.
Exactly.
Yeah, no.
Exactly.
That's Wale shit.
That is.
Because
like,
number
you think
one
I'm
and two
not
are...
better than Drake? I am, but I'm not better than Kendrick.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do we expect for this album? Is there if J. Cole came and dropped, I'm assuming there's an album. Maybe there's not. Maybe it's just a single. Maybe this single is the lead in. You know what? Then I take it all back. If this single is the lead into the Revenge of the Dreamers 3.
Could be.
But I don't think that's coming this soon.
That's counterintuitive.
Right.
In a sense. Because the whole hype around it.
If he drops the album before he drops Revenge of the Dreamers 3, he's the worst.
I'm saying maybe, and hear me out for a second. Maybe this song is a lead-in to that project.
Like,
and
it has to be. If it's not, he's wildin'.
See, I think it's less likely that it is than it isn't. Sorry, it's less likely that it's not. But I'm hoping it is. But to what you were about to say, Carrie, isn't that counterintuitive because of the buzz that Revenge of the Dreamers 3 built? I'd agree with you. And the larger circle of Black Twitter itself. Is still smaller than the circle of the fandom of J. Cole.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
For sure.
So, you know, there's a good 60% of people who are going to hear this single, and then let's say it lives on this project, who didn't know about Rap Camp. Right, you know, about Golden Ticket, Willy Wonka.
Mm-hmm. But he was also so involved.
Oh, wait. Explain that a bit more, though, in terms of the Willy Wonka thing.
Well, J. Cole is Willy Wonka, you know, in the Golden Ticket. People were calling the Dreamville invites the Golden Ticket, but I'm also just thinking in my head the idea of, like, J. Cole as Willy Wonka is kind of funny.
That is really funny.
Yeah.
But I'd pray to God, honestly.
Wale is totally the fat girl that eats the blueberries or whatever.
That's mad funny.
Sorry to cut you off.
But I was going to say, I think that if J. Cole drops an album instead of like that song, if the song he drops is going to be on his own personal solo album opposed to on the Verge of the Dreamers, he's fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. Because it's like you're literally overstep. Like, how many chances are you really going to have to, like, the hype around this project is so fucking mega because of all the social media engagement it's getting. Mm-hmm. It's like if you go and drop a solo album to, like, impede on it, it's like you just do not deserve to have a label anymore. Like, you don't deserve it.
I'd agree with that.
Like, yeah, you're fucking crazy.
But I think Kerry thinks that's the case because he said the thing about the it seems like a label move to get him.
I just think he might be putting out music. He might not be putting out an album.
Because, wait, important detail. J. Cole signed to Rock Nation Records through Columbia, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Is the label owner of Dreamville Records through Interscope.
It is.
I don't think all of Dreamville
it's like Ross was with MMG. It happens a lot.
I think Dreamville is distributed through Interscope.
Right, but that's my point, is that J. Cole, the solo artist, has very different people running his puppet strings. The people running his puppet strings, you know, and to be fair, he's a fairly not puppeted artist, but the people running him mm-hmm. are very different than those people on the corporate side running the side of the label that he owns or heads up.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair assessment of it.
But it sucks. I mean,
it does. And it's like, bro, I don't know if he gets another chance like this to really, like, capitalize on having so much attention on his artists, like, because he has so many artists that nobody knows about. I mean, us three, we know about JID, Earth Gang, Ari Lennox, Boz, all these people, Omen. But it's like, dog, what? He's not going to have another chance to really capitalize on it again the way he can right now. I think if he drops his album and it's what it sounds like it could be, it's like,
that's
perfect. If he drops his own album, he's like, he's the most selfish rapper. like literally.
Right.
That's like about to
be. That's saying a lot knowing there's a guy.
That's like getting ready to drop the Dynasty album and deciding to drop, like, Black album instead. Like, I'm just going to drop my own shit. Fuck that. You know?
That's facts.
Yeah.
Wait, real quick. And one of the things that I should have said to lead into Carrie's conspiracy theory about Middle Child is the reason why it made any kind of sense is because J. Cole, to everyone's knowledge, doesn't have siblings. So him being a middle child, like, in the normal. So you got to wonder what the song is about. And what I was thinking just now was, you know, maybe it's a song about, you know, J. Cole rapping from the perspective of not himself. And that's one thing that I was just thinking about is, over the last couple albums, KOD, All Eyes on Me, he's managed to carve out this niche where he's the rapper that, like, can rap about guns and you don't give him shit because he doesn't tote guns because you know he's rapping from the mm-hmm. perspective of someone else. He's the rapper that could talk about dealing drugs mm-hmm. and you know he's not dealing drugs, but he's giving it to you with some perspective so you let it
flow. You could tell he wanted to rap about drugs for so long.
Right. And finally well, that makes chance. It a lot easier to rap about drugs and guns.
Isn't that Drake's
How do you carve that? No, because Drake...
What's the question?
Isn't that Drake's
special? I'm kind of playing devil's advocate. But
right.
Isn't that Drake's
special? What's
Drake's
weird
specialty?
Is...
Wait, what was the question? I hear it.
Isn't that Drake's specialty?
Oh, yeah.
Being able to, like, disassociate
this thing was from... British for a year. Yes.
Like, no, but what the difference is with Drake is somehow the fucking child actor, half-Jewish, biracial kid from Canada doesn't rap from the perspective of a guy who's hard. He just kind of claims to be hard.
Yeah,
well, he claims to have a bunch of hard friends.
Post. I don't know how he picked that off, bro.
I don't either.
Remember that headlines video? Remember how awkward that was?
Oh my god!
I'm like, think about that shit, man. I've never not talked about the fact that this motherfucker's a child actor. He's not tough at all, son. He's the softest nigga in show business, in my opinion. But he got the money to pull.
I don't know. The internet tell you he killed X.
Yeah, I know. I remember that shit. That fucking loop. That fucking wormhole. Honestly, if you listen to the internet enough, Drake is by far the most diabolical rapper in history.
Well, he is calculated.
Like, that Make a Right and all that fucking Kanye shit. It's like,
I've come around on some of that. I used to argue with anyone that wanted to hear it that the idea that, like, Kiki, Do You Love Me was intentional is not the case. But I don't know. After that, he admitted on the shop, on the LeBron show, that came after the diss. So
you never know.
I mean, man, you know how Drake likes to do it. Back to back, he made it a single. Plays in the club. Kanye, what's the thing that's most off limits? Going after his wife, he made a song.
I think if he's that diabolical, he's literally doing it because he wants to seem diabolical than he actually is. Like it's not because he's some evil motherfucker. It's because he wants to seem like he's an evil motherfucker. It's like, all right, bro, whatever you feel like you deserve.
I do think about that too, though. Like the optics that he plays with are very convenient.
Yeah,
very,
exactly.
Very, I just think the guy needs to fucking get into a serious relationship and then get his heart broke so he can finally make a fucking.
You back to that future
his
shit.
Here, my dear.
Right back into it.
why is rap so why is pain, especially emotional relationship pain, such a a point of a launching pad for people's love for an artist?
Because you got to make sense of it.
I guess
you don't have to make sense of joy. It's what you crave. You know, you just feel like you deserve it. But when some crazy shit happens to you and you gotta figure out how the fuck it happened to you.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I remember the most distinct moment that I can think of where music, somebody's pain really spoke to me was when I got cheated on in 2010, and literally the week after, fucking Christian Dior Denim Flow came out. And Deuce's remix came out. And I was like, what the fuck? It was the most... It's the music...
I'm lost. What? What does Christian Dior have to do with your breakup?
I got the word in my hand, the master plan, but I don't know why you keep calling me. Everything about this song was about, it was pretty much about,
dealing... Oh, it's interesting, because I hear that... I love that song, but it's superficial. He just names off models.
But yeah, but no, I forget. There's one verse on there I haven't listened to in a long time, because honestly, it really does bring back bad memories for me.
The Cudi song.
But there's a part of it where he's they're talking. I'm like, fuck, I don't want to hear this shit. It just brings back bad memories. Yeah, but also, Deuce's remix, bro, with fucking Kanye and Andre and T. I'm like, bro.
Yo, I left class to hear that.
Shit, son, that shit was so was fucking stressful.
It was Chris Brown.
And Blame Game. Then Blame Game came out that same year.
Andre 3000, Fabulous, Tiger.
A nigga could have killed himself off Blame Game if Chris Rock wasn't at the end of that shit.
Twista had this shit on in the song.
That was fucking stressful.
That's right.
It wasn't for that shit, bro. Shit.
Yeezy reupholstered my pussy.
Classic. Yeezy taught you well.
Wait, I got a burning question. Do you think that you ain't getting this type of dick from that local dude was a shot at Wiz? Cause that's what some people say. Because she's from Philadelphia and he's a local dude. It doesn't really make sense timing wise, but I've heard people say that. Yeah.
It's possible. I never thought about that.
They're Pittsburgh, my bad. That's violation. As Wiz is Pittsburgh.
That's Pittsburgh.
People from Pittsburgh say Pittsburgh. It's so weird. Wait, I was going to ask you something. You mentioned. I agree with you. It's interesting how pain, is how we connect to artists. And I think a lot of people's favorite artists are the ones where you relate to their pain. But the songs you love the most are the happy ones. Like, Michael Jackson's the greatest artist of all time because he made PYT and, and even Thriller is fun. Like, it's the ones, it's the joyous songs that you love the most.
I don't know.
Yeah, but dude,
I feel like for every joyous song, there's a really sad song that's fire too.
Do those songs make you love an artist though?
No, that's a good point. That's what I was saying. Is I think the songs, joyous songs, maybe are a song thing. But right, you relate to artists.
I feel like the song, the really joyous hit songs, they create an audience of themselves. But the ones that really and I don't think all emotionally charged music from artists is sad. I think you can have a really emotionally charged positive song.
Can you think of one? I think you're right.
Reborn is one of them to me. That's a song that's not necessarily sad. It's about coming out of some.
I think Cudi has that lane. He has a lot.
No, he's more depressed than happy.
I think Man on the Moon 2 does those more happier songs that were kind of motivating.
Did this man just say Man on the Moon 2 is a happy album?
I didn't say it was a happy album. I didn't say that. You see how white people do that? I hear white people do that.
You see how white people do that?
I didn't say that. I said I think on Man on the Moon 2 there are songs that are happy. What the fuck? I didn't say it was a happy album.
Like what?
I'm trying to look at my
phone. All Alone? I ain't gonna lie. Don't want to be all alone is the most.
Is it marijuana? That's my
ghost.
Answer. I'm not. Let me answer, white guy.
Solo Dolo.
Ash and Kusher.
Oh, Revo Fev, which is the second song.
Revo Fev, bro.
It's a very nice song.
Don't say Razor.
Mr. Rain. Why? Because I'm young.
Mr. Rain. That's my shit.
These are not joyous.
It's classic.
They might not be depressed.
They make me happy.
Listen, I love Rebel Fev. That's a great song.
I do too. It's not
joyous. It's joyous. It might make you happy.
I'm your big brother.
Bro, I'm talking about a song where the hook is keep moving forward. Like,
just Rebel Fev is that wake up, you just times do get tough.
Wake up,
hold you back too much. The whole song is motivational as fuck. What are you talking about?
He said wake up because he overdosed.
This guy's so proud he found one song.
It's the second song on the album. It's the second song.
Kari's like, oh shit, I found a song where he's doing rap about
eating cyanide. Jesus Christ.
I hate that song. I ain't gonna lie.
Y'all
Mr.
crazy.
Mr. Ranger is hot.
Y'all wild.
Mr. Ranger is hot.
Mr. All right. Ray. All right, I'll put it like this. Haven't said that.
Mr. Rogers.
I'm done.
Haven't said that. That is the only song we hear. That's nice. No, Mojo So Dope.
He did two songs with Mary J. Blige, an ex-drug addict, called These Words.
Wait, have y'all seen Mary J. Thought?
I don't know if I appreciate you saying that, bro.
Seen Mary J. Blige Thought? I have seen. On Instagram? Yeah,
she's looking fine. I'm going for her stomach.
I don't know about fine.
Her stomach is on flat. Nah, she's fine, bro.
Yeah, I can't breathe.
Bro, I'll bring her back to the 90s.
Wait, can I just take a side note here? How did we let Kanye get away with? Hi, I'm Yeezy. She said, "Hi, I'm Maria." No, you an angel. You wave hi to Aaliyah. That bar was awesome.
I would have said this.
I hope you die, Rhea.
Was that T-Pain, Flight School?
No, that was... I love Flight School.
Flight School is such a
good
song.
No, that was the song.
That's my away message.
Erase me.
Mad time.
Erase me.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Did you know Flight School before it was the GLC version on his album?
I never had a GLC version. I only had the mixtape. I had a mixtape version.
You know you could listen on streaming.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because it's a GLC album.
It was originally just Ye and T-Pain.
Yeah, Ye and T-Pain.
It was on. I know GLC had albums. I thought it was just like some nigga.
Honestly, me either.
Yeah, it's like the most bootleg album. Yeah, one day I just looked it up on streaming. I was like, oh shit, Flight School.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Such a good verse. Why did you think I was off that? That's a great verse.
What?
I was giving you a terrible Kanye verse, and you're like, I was out of Flight School. Flight School's a great.
No, he said that.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, Kari said that.
Step inside. What's the Clark Kent?
I
the beginning's a little cheesy. He's like, I was a superhero king.
I remember the end. The past was a haze like Isaac, so I'm,
close my eyes.
I've heard that song.
Titus Asian Isaac, that's kind of racist.
That was kind of racist. There was something about a nurse something.